Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, back up now and give my brother's room. The fuse is lit and I'm about to start the IGN UK podcast.
One of the worst things that's ever happened next to me.
Shut up, that
and
was awesome.
I kind of loved it. Can we do that every single podcast now? Can we make Alex introduce it? We already established that he's a rapper slash vigilante in his spare time a couple of podcasts ago. I feel like that intro would work.
Maybe he comes on and goes, Selecta!
I'll do a different Will Smith lyric every single time. But my name is Gav Murphy. To my right is...
Joseph Scribbles.
There you go. And to my left is...
Alicia Judge.
There we go, guys.
That's slightly robotic.
There we go. Done. Let's
that
go
is
home.
Your podcast for this week.
We've done a podcast.
Yay!
Of course not. There's lots to get through, including, Joe, what the frick did we do last night?
We crossed the length and breadth of a 5 kilometre circle in London doing exercises and catching Pokemon because the world's gone mad and no one's paying attention to it because there's Pokemon to catch.
Exactly. Like, Pokemon Go is still a massive thing.
It's such a good idea, and I really hope that there was someone behind you just yelling go as he ran to be
was.
Like super...
Well, there was a guy who kept making Pokemon puns, like, our
we just say
trainer.
As well, so basically we did a 5k run with Virgin Active and basically they organize a 5k run with interval training sort of after each k, but also basically you run for 1 kilometer, stop to do some high intensity interval training with one of their personal trainers, but they'd also gone round just before and dropped lures on where we were doing that training, so you do like 3 minutes of high intensity training and then you'd also be able to catch loads of Pokemon afterwards as well.
How long did the lure last for?
30 half
minutes.
An hour.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So it was really like well timed. You had to
there was a guy on a bike who was going ahead and dropping the lures as we went. And gave us water.
I'd want to be that guy. That sounds like a fun job.
It was good.
it was really good, wasn't it?
And there was something really, like, odd about running around and having the whole group reacting to Pokemon appearing around them.
Really,
like,
fun.
There's one great bit on Blackfriars Bridge. We're surrounded by people, like, I think going home from work, probably. And, like, the personal trainer
nerds?
Guy. It's this, like, hench dude in, like, an Ash Ketchum cat. Just started screaming, Pharaoh on the bridge! And it was like terrorism was happening. It was nuts.
Yeah, that was really good. I think the really good thing about, because obviously we're massive dweebs, and we've been playing it, but the coolest thing was just seeing like actual normal normies people, and people who could probably function.
Accountants. There was an accountant doing it.
It was an accountant. You had explained to me that he was an accountant, because he told me his job, and I was like, oh yeah, it was pretty good. What was his job?
KPMG accountant.
KPMG. Wow.
KPMG is the company.
I was thinking KGB.
KGB like, accountant.
Is he allowed to just tell us?
Yes, we spent a lot on guns.
But it was awesome. So me, Joe and Rory did it. We run around London. And we filmed it, so we might put a video up at some point.
Yeah.
Because basically we set ourselves a little challenge to, and we won't give away who did well, who did the best in the challenge, but we set ourselves a little challenge on who could catch the highest CP Pokemon.
What
I will give away is I was in front for a long time.
Okay.
And then I wasn't.
Yes. Very sudden.
Spoiler alert.
Spectacularly wasn't
and
as
unexpectedly.
Well, which was really good.
Yeah. My favourite bit was the personal trainer we had who had adopted like Pokemon. He genuinely really liked Pokemon. Mm. Like, it became clear very quickly that it was not an act, which I just assumed. Cynically, I was like, oh, this guy doesn't give a shit. He's just here for a payday. Yeah. Quick buck. It turns out he was super into it, and he was like, legs like Doduos, guys!
Yeah.
Which was, legs like Doduos! That's amazing.
Yeah, he just kept making Pokemon pun names. It was really good.
It sounds like it's awful, but it actually was really good.
It was really heartwarming as well. Like, everyone felt really good, and everyone's like, going like, did you get that Electabuzz?
I was just going to say, that's really nice, because I've been and done these exercise things before, and you always are in your own little world of pain, locked in your sweat, and you never really talk to the person next to you, and then everyone kind of shuffles off at the end and don't talk to each other. But this sounds like a kind of class
it
where
was so
everyone was talking to each other.
It was great.
It was really good. We spoke to quite a lot of people. I at one point, you had to pair off. So you and Rory paired off, and I went with a complete stranger. We were doing press-ups and high-fives.
Aww.
And I was press-ups and high-fiving this one guy.
That's really good.
It was
I've
good.
Never done more press-ups because I wanted to keep up with Rory and get the high-fives going. Because I knew Rory would be devastated if he missed a high-five.
But there was this one really awesome bit where we basically stopped on South Bank. Was it not South Bank? It was Thames.
Around there.
Around the Thames. And basically...
That river...
We had to do was it burpees or push-ups at some point?
We had to do loads.
It was one of these things anyway, or mountain climbers possibly. But there was a Squirtle just appeared.
So
I basically, Rory was filming. I stopped doing the exercise so I could catch the Squirtle. But Joe was like, I don't know, too nice to stop.
Because
the guy was like, guys, you do your exercise, then you catch your Pokemon.
But I was like, living up to the
F this.
Idea of the thing. Yeah. I was happy that I would get a Squirtle at the end of it. And I didn't because he ran away.
But you got one later on though, right?
Yeah, I did get one later
good,
on.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's a brilliant bit in the video that we'll put up where it is you two catching a Squirtle, and then I notice, like, as I'm doing a plank, like, looking around, just like, are you fucking...
That was really funny. But it was good, and at the end of it, we were like, let's do more of this.
We were like planning our own Pokemon runs.
Maybe we should do our own, but then someone needs to be the person on the bike running ahead with the lure.
Well, you don't need the lure. We just stop and catch
some
Pokemon.
Yeah, you don't actually, I suppose. I don't know how much that actually helped.
No, like...
Although, to be fair, every time we got to a stop, we did get a really good Pokemon.
Yeah, occasionally. We got a lot on the run as well.
Because I always find, because we work in Olga East, and there's always a lure on Olga East.
Yeah, always.
I've never caught something. Oh, no, I caught Meowthia this morning. Other than that, I've never caught something decent.
But I think that we're in a really bad area. Like,
we're in a proper dead zone.
It's such a dead zone. I mean, the best Pokemon I've caught was Eradicate, which literally I catch enough Rattatas to have at least seven Eradicates.
It's weird how Pokemon Go's changed my perception of London. Like, before, we've got a pub downstairs from the office, which is really nice. And we go there quite a lot.
It's a shithole.
Well, no, as in it's really nice to have a pub downstairs.
All right,
that's all right.
Go for a drink after work.
They've
got Punk IPA on tap. It's nice.
Yeah, but that'll go.
Anyway.
It's a guest ale,
beyond
Joe.
Discussing,
it's a guest ale.
Beyond discussing this, I always thought it was nice that we had a pub downstairs. But that pub is not a Pokestop.
No,
and
it's not.
Ruins my day every time I see it.
Is the craft beer company around the corner a Pokestop?
I don't think it is, no.
Shite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Because I want to make that our new local.
Yeah.
I want to stop going to the one downstairs, start going to the old man pub that's dark and barely any sunlight gets in.
And there's a million beers.
And you can sit in the corner and drink 9% gravy.
And it's the size of two Wembleys downstairs.
Yeah. It is a size two Wembleys downstairs.
It's not
the
size of two bloody...
But yeah, that's our Pokemon running about thing. Maybe we'll start doing an IGN Pokemon run around London.
I'd be well
that. Would actually be really good.
You'd
be a good personal trainer.
I don't know.
I reckon you could G
like
people up.
You are,
I could definitely
the
G people up.
Out of
but
all of us.
I could G people up, but I don't have the, like, good...
Well, you're not going to be doing handstands on South Bank.
I might be doing handstands, which this guy was doing.
Seriously.
Yeah, I've got an awesome photo of it.
I've got an image now, though, of Krupa just in a plank and doing press-ups and you standing him over going, G up, lad, G up, G up.
Well, there we are.
That's a weird image.
It's in my head now, burned in my retina.
What else are we doing this week? Star Wars. We did a Star Wars. We had Star Wars Celebration last weekend. That was amazing.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
It was another overwhelmingly positive event.
Yeah.
Things just keep happening that are nice.
Everything,
don't expect it.
Everything on my running order this week, including XXX3,
Well, do you know what? We'll do you know what? But this is such the games industry, isn't it? It's like our little industry. Our news is amazing. We're super happy. There's lots of games coming out. People are uniting under the banner of small animals. Like
outside of nerd culture,
everything's going to shit.
Everything is effed up.
But it's weird.
Inside,
it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, that is right. That's really good.
Yeah,
if you came and said hello during Style Celebration, I think we probably had an amazing time saying hello to you.
We've got an email from a man who said hello.
Really? Aww. I posed for a lot of photos, and I'm really sorry to anyone because I can only do one face in photo.
I know exactly what the face is. That's always that face.
It's so annoying.
It's such a good face, though.
It is a nice face.
It's a really good face. Pleased.
Yeah, but when you've done it like a lot throughout the day, you didn't put your phone on airplane mode.
What?
You absolutely kidding me?
Like, you know, I'm very well connected.
The podcast listeners have just had a
shit as that I've got to put up with. What was the coolest thing you saw at Star Wars Celebration? Alicia.
Damn
you.
My coolest thing literally happened after I asked Joe on that, because I was only there for one day, the final day, which was the most fun day because it was the day where we were being really silly and doing all the silly videos.
Yeah.
But so Joe had already had a day there. I was like, oh, what was like the coolest thing that you saw yesterday? And he was like, well, I mean, it was probably Warwick Davis riding past on a Segway. And I was like, no way. That sounds so cool. I'd love to see that. Literally 2 minutes later, we walked on a little bit further and Warwick Davis just goes,
came through the bag check
on the Segway
at the media
But then he was like, we had to line up for the bags to get them. And he was right behind us. And I was like, I was not keeping my cool. I was like, Joe. Warwick Davis is behind us and he's on a Segway.
Does Warwick Davis have to have his bag checked?
Yeah.
He had to like queue up with us for the Segway.
They're not checking Wicket's bag.
They're checking it thoroughly from what I could tell.
Because I thought when you were saying I thought you were saying he was going through the bag check, and I was like, if this was an episode of 24, that's who I would turn first. I would turn Warwick Davis and then put a bomb on him.
Yeah, well.
And then he'll be... Actually, that'd be a really good bomb because he'll be on his little Segway and you can run it into anyone.
You're thinking of it like Diva's Ultimate in Overwatch.
Run that into J.J. Abrams. That'll learn him.
Wow. Weird thing to think about.
He wasn't it. So
but yeah,
fine.
Anyway, the bomb wasn't in his bag because I saw it get checked. Yeah, I watched very closely just to see if he had a knife.
Yeah.
But he did not. But no, I mean, that was the kind of first cool thing I saw, but it's kind of joint second with when we stood in a replica set of Endor.
Oh, cool.
That was so good.
It was so good.
For anyone who didn't go, they've released, or they're releasing a new set of Star Wars themed drones, and they had like a big Death Star trench with a sim, you know, like a X-Wing versus TIE Advanced, weirdly. Yeah. Loads of Vaders having a fight, and then in the next room, they just got trees and mud and leaves.
Yeah.
It was an actual forest
and
in the convention centre.
It smelled of what
really
Endor
good.
Would smell like. You walked in, and you know in those air freshener ads, you did the air freshener face, where you just kind of go,
but we
it was amazing.
Got really lucky and were allowed to go behind the scenes, because you're meant to be behind netting,
but they let us in.
We got in, and they flew the speeders around us. Yeah. And
we sat on a log
incredible.
In Endor, and then we sat on a rock. We sat on all the Endor things.
Yes. One of the drone guys kept talking about how the fact that it smelled like a forest made him want to have a piss in it all the time.
Oh my God,
it was really strange.
That.
He was just like, it really makes you want to just go
through
a
week. Yeah, that was so weird.
Like,
and then we were very British and we thought we'd carry on the small talk. He'd chosen the small talk subject, so we were like, we'll run with this. And then we were like, great, so you'd be marking your territory in Endor. And then we had this really strange conversation.
When we left, I shook his hand and said, please don't piss, and left. That's the coolest closing line I've ever had.
See, I got to see it, but I got to see it from behind the netting. And the first one we saw was the trench one, and I had a big problem with that.
It was too big for the tiny drones.
Yeah.
Well, and also, there's a Death Star hanging above
it. Yeah, this is the
it.
Problem I had. So, they'd recreated the trench of the Death Star, and then there's a Death Star hanging above it as well. Yeah. What is
Double
going on?
Double Death Star?
Bollocks!
Episode 8.
Get out.
Episode 8 revealed.
There was that one. But then, I was in the Endor one, I was filming, and I basically got to film in the day, and then got to film in the evening again with our colleague, Eric Goldman. who was over from the States and is a lovely person. And so I was filming. I said, as we were walking down, I said, oh, Eric, because I saw where they take off. Mm-hmm. I said, Eric, if you come down here, this is kind of where they take off and you can see them a little bit better. Because once they get out there, it's really hard to sort of keep an eye on them. And he's like, okay, cool. So he came down and we stood there. And as we were filming, guess who came in to watch as well?
Mark Hamill.
Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One.
No!
So he came in to start looking at the things, and he was like standing next to me. So I was filming a little bit, and so I was like, oh, bollocks this. I stopped filming.
Do you want to do this, mate?
Yeah.
he was filming with his mobile phone, and I was like, oh, I'm going to film some of that. So I said, oh, hey, man, how are you doing? And I was like, and he's like, this is amazing, isn't it? And he was like, and then he goes, two things. How much are they, and when can I get one?
Nice.
So we had like a little chat with him about that and cool. about things. That was quite nice.
In fairness, they are bloody amazing. Like, we went out afterwards to look at the actual drone toys themselves, and like even the packaging.
Oh, the packaging's amazing.
Is stunning. So like when you get the box, when you open it, like there's this really slow like light show where basically all inside it's made of like this, not glass, but like, you know,
Perspex type
glass that houses this incredibly beautiful drone. And then there's like in the outside you can take off a little like coin, and then you
and
like
keep talking about nanoparticles.
It's got nanoparticle technology, which I swear
I thought they were taking the piss when they said that.
Yeah,
it's actually genuinely real, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same.
Thing,
I thought this was kind of like a deploy the algorithm style.
Yeah, I thought they were talking
like,
about midichlorians. I was like, yeah, it's all bollocks.
It's all mental. But no, it's really cool. So you wave the coin against the drone, and suddenly this like personalized serial number thing appears on it. Just like the attention to detail of the packaging. Is really,
it plays
really
little
cool.
Music.
Yeah,
plays music as as you lift the box art off.
Yeah, me and Krupa have done a video of it.
Tony Spreaker, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. but it is in a box.
Yeah, but it's incredible. Music, Joe, you aren't grateful.
It's incredible. But the guy, you know, it looks so amazing, then just to hear like.
it's like a MIDI. It's like. Bam, 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 bam. It's not like that. But no, it's awesome. They were really, really good.
Apparently, there's secrets in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's stuff about the boxes they weren't telling us. Like, we had a chat with the CEO of the company.
More about the boxes.
Apparently,
the boxes, Joe.
Apparently, something's in it is incredible that they weren't showing off. And I was like, you're talking it as if like the box has as much technology as the drones. And he was like,
well, to be fair, like they look so good in the box. And I think if you're a nerd, then that's probably. If you're a nerd and not a drone pilot, which, let's be honest, probably 99% of the people who are buying those things are going to be, it's going to be in a box a lot of times. So, you know, it's cool to have it as an actual thing. Like, I'd love if we could get one here.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so cool.
I want one so badly.
Yeah, I really do. But
all four.
What
else did I see that was cool? I think the cool stuff that I saw was it was just people. Yeah. I think, like, I've never been at a convention before where it was all centered around one thing.
You were talking about this, and it was a really good point.
And it's like, because usually you go to Comic-Cons or you go to, like, you know, Hyper Japan or something like that, where everything is loads of different things going on. So if you're a fan of, like, comics and stuff there, if you're a fan of, like, sci-fi or Star Trek, you know, all these different things. Because it was just Star Wars, everyone was there, you know, has got this one collective interest.
Well, it's kind of the same as
Star
our Pokemon
Wars.
Run.
Yeah,
where it was
absolutely.
Like, we were all there just for one thing, and everyone, all those, like, weird social barriers broke down because everyone could just be like, isn't this cool?
Suddenly everyone has a common connection. Like, you've already established that kind of link.
And, like, the most heartwarming thing for me was just, like, having that Rey being a strong female role model thing.
Yeah.
Totally vindicated, because the number of little girls who were just, like, walking around dressed up as Rey doing fucking badass stuff the whole time. And it just makes you go, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that, like, anyone ever complained about this is mad to me now.
Yeah.
And, like, the coolest thing I saw was this kid in a Boba Fett, really good, like, Mandalorian armor walking around.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Like, properly swagging about. Yeah. And then took off their helmet. It was like this little girl just looking, like, fucking angry at everyone. I was like, that's amazing. That's the coolest thing.
That's awesome.
It was so nice. Yeah. It was just a really good atmosphere the whole
time. Really enjoyed it.
It was lovely. Even, like, I got a tattoo on the Sunday morning.
Yeah,
which was amazing. As a tattoo that Krupa designed for me. It started off as a joke on Rebel Base like a year ago, and all came to fruition at Star Celebration 2. Tattooed by an amazing person called Clara Sinclair, who ended up going on to win a Star Wars competition that day.
Did she?
For another tattoo that she'd done.
Amazing. Yeah,
which is awesome. But yeah, I've had a bunch of tattoos, and I think she was this is probably the one that I've sort of bled least and scabbed up the least, so that's good.
Nice. High class work.
As soon as they stop scabbing, maybe I'll put a photo of it. Well, we did a couple of videos and stuff of it as well. Yeah. But that was awesome. It was just a lovely, lovely time.
And considering like that is an event just built around really selling you stuff. Like,
absolutely.
90% of the stuff there is just really expensive merch stalls.
Yeah.
So the fact that we came away going like, yeah, this was brilliant.
It's lovely, yeah.
It's a testament to how good that audience was. It was great. It was a really good time.
For sure. Speaking of really good things, a new trailer.
I know what you're moving
on. A new trailer dropped this week. Was it a trailer for season 2 of Narcos? Yes, it did drop, but we're not going to talk about it because there was another bigger trailer. Magnificent Seven? No, not that either, guys. A different trailer. XXX: The Return of Xander Cage.
God, it's so shit.
Probably the best trailer we've ever seen at IGN.
You're an absolute maniac.
I would think. I mean, I think that kind of goes without saying.
I know you love Vin Diesel, and I know we have video evidence of him being an excellent person.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, he's brilliant. But that trailer is so poor. I mean, do not understand.
I wouldn't say it's poor. I'd say that it's...
It's all right if you don't get it, Joe. It's all right if you don't understand what's going on.
Everyone speaks in taglines. Nothing makes sense.
Just like real life.
Oh, yeah. No. The bit that I would ascribe poor to is the end where it's got... What's her face from Orange is the New Black, who's looking down the barrel of a gun, who just goes...
Guns, girls, and global domination.
It's like, as she says guns, there's like some people blowing up. Girls, some like girls in bikinis on the beach, and global domination end.
And then it's just fucking Vin Diesel looking slightly more overweight than he used to, being like,
just a little bit.
That's how everyone talks. When I come in the morning, I'm like, tea, videos, chatting with Rory. Like, that's how I talk. That's how everyone talks. You're forgetting this. I think it's nailed it. It's coming out in January. So, Oscar contender, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That is Oscar bait, if I've ever seen it.
Do you know what my second favourite part of that trailer was? It's where this woman is clearly talking about how they need to hire Vin Diesel again.
It's Toni Collette.
And
was it?
Yeah.
That was not Toni Collette.
I'm 60% positive.
We had an amazing thing this week that you just reminded me of, where Rory made a video and said immediately that it would get 2 million views.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone was like, I don't know, Rory. So he said 1 million views. It's not done 1 million.
No, it's just the way that you said it. I thought it was quite obviously Toni Collette.
I don't know.
Maybe
maybe you're right. But
upcoming projects, XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
Amazing.
Nice.
I knew it was.
So... They're there, and they're staring.
She's there, yeah.
Down the barrel of the camera, and they say, "We need someone who does things differently in this epic voice." And then
we'll get the same guy we got in the last two films.
No, it's even better than that. It flicks back to that same guy that they've had in the last two films.
It wasn't in the last two films.
He
was only in one.
He was in the original XXX.
He was in the original, and then Ice Cube took over from him.
Oh, fucking hell. What a stupid series.
Come on, guys.
Well.
Come on, guys. Keep up.
He didn't make even a cameo appearance in XXX 2.
I can't remember now.
Weird,
that. He had stuff on.
Would you like me to finish my story while you guys are derailing the joke? And then, it switches, and it's just Vin Diesel who is skiing down a leafy forest without snow. And if there's ever anyone who does things differently, it's probably a man who skis without ice.
Listen. Well, he also drives a motorbike across the ocean like he's skipping a stone and like does
That's
a ramp
how
off
physics
a wave.
Works, Joe. Just because you don't understand physics, don't have a go with Vin Diesel.
It's absolutely pathetic. It's a stupid looking film for morons.
Personally, I can't wait for the film. I think it's going to silence the haters.
I look forward to being proved wrong.
Do you know what? You're like those scumbags that judge Ghostbusters before it came out.
No, I'm not.
You're organising... It's an orchestrated hate campaign that you are doing against Vin Diesel and his kind.
Look, I just wish...
Whatever he is...
I just think they've really...
Spanish.
They've hurt the legacy of the XXX franchise.
You said to
me, ruined my childhood where I looked at Ice Cube and I thought, that's someone I can relate
you
to.
You said to me as I walked in yesterday before the trailer dropped, you said to me, God, I hate bald people. And they shouldn't be allowed to be in films. They shouldn't be allowed to remake films.
I stand by that because they make DOP's lives hell. The amount of shine that they have to deal with on those.
Vin Diesel doesn't shine.
Selfish men. Vin Diesel doesn't shine.
I mean, obviously he shines when he's acting.
He's got like the duck's quack of a head.
Yeah.
Like, they don't echo and he doesn't shine.
That's exactly right.
Physics.
He's matte.
He's matte.
Constantly matte.
He sands down his head every
day.
Even
when he's boiling and sweating.
Absolutely.
Absolute matte.
No sheen.
But I'm excited for XXX3. I can't believe it's not coming out this year. Got to wait all the way until January.
Did you even know it was coming out before yesterday?
Yeah.
You knew that film was
coming out. Yeah, but I just hadn't seen any footage from it. I think at some point we were offered a set visit.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I saw an email come through. It was like, hey, guys, who wants to do the set visit? And
why
I was like, you could have seen. Obviously, this is going to happen.
Live and then, jungle skiing.
And then I saw an email from either Krupa or Tilly going, oh, I think we'll pass on this one. And that's why.
I quit.
And that's why I'll never truly love them. So there we are. Another film, which I don't know if it's as good as XXX, if anything can be as good as XXX or Return of Xander Cage.
Trailers were as bad.
Listen.
They were bad.
The first trailer was bad.
But
anyway, listen.
But I want
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond. Which had a bad first trailer, a really good second trailer, I think.
So I didn't watch either of the trailers because I am a massive Star Trek fan. And
if you were that big, you would have watched them, surely.
No. I'm too big a fan to watch the trailer.
Really?
There's literally a point where you just kind of go,
if you're just going to watch something.
No, it's where you kind of go, you don't want any spoilers.
If I was a big fan, I wouldn't be able to help myself.
No, you don't want any spoilers. You don't want it. It's in the same way that you wait until Christmas Day to open your Christmas presents.
Yes.
It's that sense of, I wanted it to just experience it on the day. And also not be influenced. I didn't look up any media. I didn't look up any coverage. Just wanted to have own opinion. And it was amazing. It was so, so good.
So I gave you my tickets.
You did.
Rather than go see Star Trek Beyond, I went running with these Vin Diesel hating bozos. But I'm glad it was really good because all I've heard is really good things.
Yeah, it's like, so it's had a shift in tone because obviously Star Trek Into Darkness was kind of
boring,
shite.
Yeah, those are two words that I think people said, but maybe not those quite words in their reviews. But it was very much people kind of thought that it was a very dark tone, funnily enough, and it, what made the original Star Trek series and kind of like the original Star Trek movie or the first movie in J.J. Abrams' new series kind of stand out was this kind of tone that was very jokey, almost kind of like it was a lot more jovial and then
vibrant.
And then they went like super serious and people didn't really like that. And so what they've tried to do,
innocent people die in
lots of innocent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Khan, but the issue with Khan in the second movie was more just the fact that in the TV series, you'd had ages and ages and ages to fall in love with these characters. So when Khan ripped through the kind of the crew, it was so distressing. Whereas in the film, it just feels really like, even when they're like main members of the crew, you've only really been seeing them acting for like an hour. And so it just feels like more of a plot point.
Yeah, I think like for me, like it's meant to be, the thing that I had a problem with it was meant to be like this whole new adventure thing. They were like going off on these different new adventures and then you just get a baddie that we already know and we already have preconceptions for, which is kind of, I was just like, why have you done this?
And
also, he was a good enough baddie without actually being Khan.
And there's literally the bit where Leonard Nimoy turns up and goes, he's awful. Don't be nice to him. And then they just ignore him. So it's useless advice. Also, that film has some of the worst foreshadowing I've ever seen. The bit with the Tribble, where Bones, who has done absolutely nothing for the entire thing, is asked what he's doing. And he's like, I think this unconnected plot point has regenerative powers.
Yeah.
And then just like fucks off for an hour.
Yeah.
And then comes back and saves the day. And that's the end of the film.
He is the best thing in those films as well.
Carl Urban.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
He's fantastic.
He seems like a really grumpy man. And I quite like that.
I don't think he is. I think from all I've heard from different people, he's very nice.
Is he?
Yes.
I mean, I was going to say it's good that he's grumpy. I like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't treat it with respect. That's what I want.
Well, Well, if you don't like baddies that you know a lot about and that you've seen before, then you'll really like the new baddie in this one. He's called Krall, and there was a reference actually to Krall like ages ago in Star Trek lore, but it's nothing to do with that. He's this brand new guy played by Idris Elba, and he's like, he has one of the best entrances I've ever seen as a supervillain. It's like evil incarnate.
Did you come in like Hulk Hogan? It's like pumping up the crowds. Like, crashing down on
that. He's pretty. It's pretty badass.
Couldn't deal with you staring directly into my eyes during that.
Whilst pumping the crowd.
That's too much. It really works.
It's really, really good. And the only downside, and if you really don't want any Star Trek spoilers, then I guess shut your ears. It's not a massive spoiler. It's not a massive spoiler at all. But like,
who are you talking to then? I don't want to.
Okay.
Well,
let's not do it
because the film's not even out yet.
It's not a massive spoiler. It's more
I don't want to know.
It's more. I think I mentioned it to you this morning in the...
You've already had it spoiled!
It's literally just to do with a flaw within that character, more to do with the second half. That I'm just going to say, because it's probably not a big spoiler, but he's...
We've got a choice now.
He's a little...
Running roughshod over our expectations.
I don't know what's happening.
Incredible.
I know.
She's gone mad.
Bleep all
I'm
of
just
this.
Like... Embargo! No, he's like... He becomes very two-dimensional.
He dies at minute 72.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, like I think I likened him earlier to the baddie in the first film, Nero. Like he's kind of like a reheated version of him in the end. And the whole idea of him is, whereas before Khan was this villain who he completely dominated the second film. You know, we saw him constantly. Yeah. It almost became that like Kirk and Spock were cameoing in like the Khan movie. Mm. Now the baddie here is kind of like, there's not a lot of backstory to him. He's very mysterious. His whole threat is in the fact that you don't really know what his motives are or his ambitions are. But then he just becomes very... two-dimensional, and there's this kind of he delivers these monologues that are just supervillain 101 monologue,
right?
And then at the end you find out a bit more, and that's kind of like, but
the last three films that I have seen Idris Elba in,
I think I was going to make a similar point. Well, I don't know, actually,
the last three films I've seen Idris Elba in, it hasn't been Idris Elba's face.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know if I remember him even having a face.
String of bells, just a big green screen.
I don't understand. I can't remember what he looks like. Because the last things I saw him in were Jungle Book, Toy Story, and now Star Trek.
I thought you were going to say that he always uses the same voice, which is...
It's a good voice.
Oh, it's just boring.
No one moans at Tom Hanks.
But Tom Hanks sounds fun, though.
I think Idris Elba sounds fun.
I don't think Idris Elba's very good since...
What?
Since The Wire. I don't think he's done anything particularly
standout. He is amazing in The Wire, though.
He's amazing in The Wire.
What about those Virgin Internet adverts?
Well, that's it. That's his whole character in most of his things. He's just like, yeah, good. I'm doing a big sort of threatening
thing. I really want to go back to Luther, but at one point I got to
Luther's
it.
Luther's crap.
And I was like, if I see him put that coat on once more and put the like thing up and then walk off.
I don't get it. Everyone's like, oh, Luther's so gritty. It's a load of people talking in... nearly Cockney rhyming slang, like just getting angry at each other and then solving slightly grisly murders. Rubbish. Absolute bollocks. Or something good.
Well,
Star Trek Beyond.
Genuinely is one of my favourite films that I've seen this year.
Holy shit!
It's so good. And there's this amazing bit, amazing scene that I think will be really divisive. People are either going to love it or hate it.
Don't tell us what it is.
Which I'm not going to tell you. No, of course not. But you'll know it when you see it. And I think that will go in down in like sci-fi history as one of just the best.
What?
Well.
I'm excited about that.
Okay. Guys.
Oh, God, no. It's the time.
Down? Oh, I see.
Well, our printer's broken. So I'm going to have to do things with a phone. I have to write stuff down.
Oh,
guys.
Okay.
I've been away for a couple of weeks. I haven't been on the podcast.
No.
Which means you guys have had a respite from Keyword Countdown. Where the jingle goes.
Yes!
Excellent.
See, I didn't know that I was going on this podcast until like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And now I just haven't. I've not had the time to prepare mentally or physically or emotionally.
You're the only person who reacts badly to this section anyway.
Although to be fair, yeah, because Rory was meant to be on the podcast, then he dropped Alicia in it like 2 seconds before we came
into
this room.
It was going to be first versus second.
It was going to be first versus second. Now, unfortunately for Rory, well, I don't know what's going to happen. So here we go.
Sounds like.
Oh no, you're actually starting. Okay.
Film number one.
Oh god.
Oh, if you don't know what keyword countdown is.
Oh my god!
Hey, this is the first time you know it. Basically, IMDb has a load of crazy keywords for different films. So you have to guess what the film is by these crazy keywords. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? Film number one. Undercover cop. Gang. Urban setting.
Scorpio.
Heist.
Serpico. That's what I meant.
This can describe so many films.
Machismo.
Machismo undercover. The Dark Knight.
Implied sex.
Implied?
What?
5-word title.
Oh my
Five.
God. There will be blood. That's four.
Heist. Oh my goodness.
The town.
What is action town?
What undercover cop was in There Will Be Blood?
I don't know. That's the first long title
long
I can
con.
Think of.
He was long conning them. Undercover highwayman. Run car off road.
Run car off road.
So many movies.
Italian job.
The ninth clue. Auto shop.
Or John Wick.
Final clue. Illegal street race.
Fast and Furious, Tokyo.
It's the very first Fast and the Furious, but you can have that.
I got a point.
Well done.
I don't want to play against you. It's actually worrying.
Holy shit.
I didn't like that at all.
Hopefully Dale has normalised that audio and your ears are all intact.
Hopefully he's deleted this audio
so
file.
So sorry, yep.
It's alright, you beat the
volcanic.
Best.
I'm not
you
even sorry best. Though.
It's fine, I don't mind losing
the thing
that.
Is, so, like, because that was on the final clue, I only got 1 point for that.
It's fine. I mean, you said Tokyo Drift as well, but doesn't matter, because it was the very first. The Fast and the Furious. Yeah. There you go.
I'm so proud.
Film number two.
I don't know if you should be.
Film number two.
Yeah.
Invasion.
Independence Day.
Infantry.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Violence. Vomiting.
Stormtroopers.
Full Metal Jacket.
Fear of Death.
Oh my god, that's all films and my life.
Edith Piaf.
Oh, fucking.
Who's Edith Piaf?
Diane Young.
Levion Rose. Edith Piaf.
Main character dies.
The pianist.
Oh, really?
Penultimate clue. Rescue mission.
Rescue.
Fucking Inglourious Bastards.
Final clue.
Oh no, is it the one with the meat?
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. Well done. Mission, well final done. Clue was Normandy.
Well done. Mm. Well done.
Well done, Joe. Well done. Well done. Well done. You all ready for this? Oh god, what's happened to my phone?
What has happened to your phone?
Talk amongst yourselves. Here we go. I fixed it. Film number three. Boy.
About a boy.
Friendship.
Love Actually.
Fox and the Hound.
Prejudice. Junkyard.
Junkyard.
Alien life form.
Super 8. And E.T. And...
Year 1957.
E.T.!
I just said E.T.
Oh, did you?
Mac and me.
Eating non-food. I love that clue.
Eating non-food.
Because you know someone has written that and gone, there's a word for this, but I don't know what it is.
Non-food.
3-word title.
Why is this not working in my brain?
Penultimate clue.
It's definitely not Mac and me.
Pretending to be a statue.
What?
Fucking...
Final clue. Robot.
AI.
Oh, Wally?
Oh, the Iron Giant?
The Iron Giant. Well done.
I've never
seen
the Iron Giant.
I've never
seen it. It's amazing.
I've heard it's brilliant.
It's so good. Oh, I'm going to watch that this weekend. Anyway, see you there. Okay.
This has been an underwhelming round so far. Taking a long time to get things.
It's good.
That's right. Great. No, well done.
I like this.
This is him G-ing us up.
Because technically you're playing along at the same speed as everyone else.
That's true.
So I haven't worked out how to be able to do that. How to make it a decent game for people at home.
But that's it.
What?
What we're doing now.
I know, yeah.
It is a decent game for people at home.
Right now,
that's what
yeah.
I'm talking about.
But not when bloody people are guessing them first, second, third. Anyway, doesn't matter. Film number four. The future.
Back to it.
The Terminator?
Damaged Starship.
Oh. Is it Event Horizon?
Alien Planet.
Alien.
Prometheus.
Lens Flare.
Giant Star Trek Into Darkness. Star Trek, the first Star Trek.
Space.
The Final Frontier. These are the voyages.
Fighting.
Fighting. Fuck it out.
Planet.
Eclipse.
God damn it.
Darkness.
Interstellar. The other one.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good guess.
Bald Man.
is it Picard? Is it Star Trek one with Picard in it?
Goggles.
Goggles?
Firefly. Serenity.
Oh, Serenity was a good choice.
Who's got goggles?
I'm going to have to call it there, guys, unfortunately.
No. Can you run through the clues again?
Future. Damaged Starship. Alien Planet. Lens Flare. Space.
It must be J.J. Abrams.
Fighting. Eclipse. Darkness. A Bald Man.
The Force Awakens.
Pitch Black with Vin Diesel. Yes.
I've never watched that.
Well done. Another one-er.
So you literally flinch. I'm so sorry.
Well done. You're going to attack me.
You are worryingly intense.
Well done. No, I like it. Because what are we without intensity?
Just normal.
Robots.
Not scared.
Like the Iron Giant. All right. Here we go. Final film. Actually, I'll tell you now. Except for this last one, what's the link between all those?
All
yeah, well done. I'm not giving you another point for that.
No, that's fine.
This is the final one, and Vin Diesel's not in this, as far as I know.
Oh.
He's definitely not.
Rogue.
Not.
I didn't know he was in The Iron Giant.
Yeah, he's the voice.
Is he?
Yeah. Martial arts.
Enter the Dragon.
Female martial artist.
Rush Hour 2.
Third part.
Rush Hour 3.
Sequel.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Star died before release.
The Crow 3.
Space opera.
Space opera?
Oh.
Based on TV series.
Serenity?
No.
13th part.
What
martial artist?
Star.
Sequel to a reboot.
Oh my god. Wait, Star Trek Into Darkness. Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah. I put that in for you, motherfucker.
I was going on martial artist. I was thinking of like a karate kid.
Yeah. Don't get put off by the most obscure clue.
Unfortunately, because it's a new film, there's not that many keywords for it. And two of them were really shitters.
Wait, run through the clues again.
Martial arts.
Yeah.
Female martial artist. Third part. Sequel. Star died before release.
Space opera. I think it was the first two that really threw me of like martial artist and female martial artist.
Based on TV series, 13th part, sequel to a reboot, and the final one, Star Trek.
Yeah, I should have got it. Should have got it on 13th part.
There you go, Joe. You got 6 points.
Well done.
Alicia, you got 2 points.
I'm happy with two.
Fantastic. What an amazing round of keyword countdown. Hopefully, if I'm on next week, there'll be another one.
Who knows?
Ooh.
Let's see this ship of a podcast home with some feedback. Our printer's not working, so it's all in our phones.
So let's find out. I'm going to read one out.
Okay.
It is going to be this one from Dylan. Dylan Wynn.
Sweet.
Hi all. I have a quick question. Has Joe recently done a voiceover for a hay fever commercial? I think maybe Benadryl. I only heard it once and it was in the background whilst working, so I couldn't say exactly what it was, but his voice is so distinctive that I'm convinced it is him. I haven't, but you are the third person to tell me that
really?
I've been a part of a Benadryl advert.
If you see that advert, come on, can someone record it? Because
yeah,
I really want to hear it.
I want to know what's going on. There's too many people who think I'm repping hay fever, which is interesting.
I mean, you should probably just get in contact with the makers of the advert, so if the guy gets hay fever and his voice goes one day, you can
That's
go
a
in
very
and
good
record
point.
For him.
Yeah. I don't get hay
Although
he's probably got the ultimate advocate.
He's probably got as much hay fever medicine as he wants.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah, but what if it's drowsy and he falls asleep?
Does that happen if you do an advert? If you do an advert, can you basically guarantee that you'll have... No. Like, if I did an advert for wagon wheels, could I...
What an amazingly obscure thing.
Would that keep me in wagon wheels forever?
No, it wouldn't. No, absolutely not. No. Not unless you're an actual famous person.
But I would be, because I'd be in the advert.
You wouldn't be that famous. Wagon wheels? What's that going to be?
If I was doing a voice
ITV tea time. If I was doing best. A voice.
Hello. Do you like wagon wheels? There you go. See? If I was doing that.
Sold!
Would you like a marshmallowy treat?
That was bloody good, that was.
That's like wagon sometimes wheels. With jam. Very complex.
Sometimes with jam.
Yeah, jam.
Jam in it, yeah. Marshmallow. The blue ones had, I think.
Some biscuits, some chocolate.
They were massive,
they were really big.
Too big.
Too big,
or
if anything.
Or is that because we were really small?
No, they were actually massive. Okay.
Yeah, big old.
Bigger
big old
than.
Jobbers.
A car.
But Dylan continues.
Oh.
Speaking of the old... I've skipped some stuff, so this makes no sense. Let's skip to this. Have you guys watched Stranger Things yet?
No.
No.
Oh, well, I thought you had. No point.
We were going to talk about it on this week's podcast, but I didn't have time to watch the first episode last
week. We won't talk about it in depth, but basically, Dylan gives a very good potted summary of why it's good without giving anything away, so that's good. Blah, blah, blah. The show is impeccably well made, with a strong cast, awesome visual style, and great attention to detail. On top of this, it's pretty damn scary. The intro encapsulates it all perfectly. And this is bang on. The Stephen King typeface brands the show in heart-bleeding VHS red with creepy John Carpenter beats and a little bit of old-school projector wobble. It's a love letter to the 1980s, the best decade, and not only pays homage to the era that defined the genre, but uses nostalgia to play with what you know and push its story beats a little harder. I laughed, I reminisced, and I shat myself.
Nice.
Winner!
Give this man a writing job.
Dylan
That's
is
amazing.
Very good, and that is absolutely bang on. Like, Stranger Things is taking over my every waking minute at the moment.
We'll talk about it on next week's podcast. I think all of us would have finished it by then.
And so. It is so far up everyone's street.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, let's race through these then.
Let's.
Joe's got to put something live at 4.
I got to do some
doesn't
work.
Make any sense to you guys, because God knows when you listen to this. If you happen to be listening to it at 20 to 4, that you know the kind of time we're up against.
2099.
Here we go.
They're listening in the future. They look back at our covers and they see it's still there because that was the last
You're not helping. Tyler Downey writes in. He says, hello, everybody at the IGN UK podcast. I both watch and listen to your podcast as well as watch Prepare to Try, the best and most watched series on IGN globally. So there we are. Ooh. And honestly, anything with you guys in it.
Sounded a bit chippy, to be honest.
Wow. You all feel like people I can hang out with, play games, watch shows and movies, play Drunken Master with. Anyway, I'm interested in what drew you to video games. Video games are basically my life, and for me, it has always been about the escape. I want to get lost in another world, save that world, and almost live another life. I'm a lover of books, nerd, and video games allow me to be the hero, and this is what really draws me in. What do you love about video games? What makes you want to play them?
Oh, wow.
That's a much deeper answer than mine. I just...
I like it when there's men in them with nice asses that you can look at. Because a lot of the time...
You only play third-person games.
Third-person, and I can watch a man's buttocks move up and down as I make him do things.
Best
in the world.
Third-person man buttocks. Go. Favourite ever.
Was it Wheelman with Vin Diesel?
What was the 50 Cent Blood on the Sand?
Oh, that's a good game.
Big cargo
that's actually
pants.
A good game.
It was legit.
I'll have no bad words said against that.
Never
why,
seen anything.
Why
about
do you play video games this year? Other than being a massive dweeb.
A massive nerd! Aside from that, like I've talked about this before on the podcast, but it comes down to the way it tells stories. So, like, you know, I've always read books as a nerd. I've always, you know, watched films, even though Keyword Countdown does not actually suggest that. But like those two mediums, it's where, yeah, the story very much happens to you. And I, you know, I love that. But with games, you are actually the propulsion engine behind it. And especially I love tree games where your decisions affect the outcome of the story. Just that sense of kind of, I guess, purpose to a game that I don't think you get with any other medium that's so unique to our industry. And yeah, it's really exciting.
I think I've got, and most of the people that I work with and know and are friends with and play games, I think we've got like a weird disease in us, which is just the love of playing. And it can be anything. It can be like it can be Keyword Countdown. It can be like dicking about in a car with your mates. It can be anything. And I think if all my family have got it, like my nan, my auntie, my mum, they've all got it. Like that thing of just love play in. So it's like playing tricks on people, anything like that. And that's why I play video games, because I literally have to.
I just always have.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just been there, always. Yeah.
There we
nice
are.
Comforting blend.
Alicia, you've got an email.
I have an email from Matt Huggins, which is the nicest name ever.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
It does. But Matt Huggins says, being in my mid-20s, like most others in this age bracket, I grew up with Pokemon and have been eagerly anticipating the release of Go. On release day, I decided to have some drinks with a friend, and every now and again we would go on the app and have a go. It was loads of fun. Towards the end of the evening, instead of going to the next pub, we decided to have a wander around the town and see what we could find. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw what felt like 100 people swarmed around the local church, all chatting and playing the game. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. We stayed out socialising with people we'd never met before, playing with them, and it was one of the nicest experiences I've ever had as a gamer. Long may it continue. Love all the team equally as much as each other. Matt Huggins.
That's awesome. I haven't had like a thing with randoms yet, other than the Pokemon Go thing that we did. I haven't been walking around and seen I've seen people, but they've been by themselves, and
I think that's like I think there's a quiet thrill to seeing other people playing when
it.
You are.
Yeah,
yeah.
Being
certainly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Especially if there's like a cool Pokemon pops up nearby, yeah. And you want to be like, oh my god, it's an Eevee.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the guys on the run yesterday, actually the accountant guy we were talking about.
He said, KGB accountant.
Yes. He said a Poliwrath appeared outside his building yesterday and he couldn't reach it from his seat, but other people were talking about it. And he looked out of his window where it was, and he just saw like, because he's right in the city of London, like big streams of people walking, but then just dotted around looking down from above, like little...
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
Like rocks in the current of all these people who were very clearly catching Pokemon around down there, which
that's
I thought was
cool.
So cool.
That's really cool.
Like, just being able to see from above, like,
yeah,
they're all definitely Go players.
The streams.
That's awesome.
It's like that bit in X-Men where you look at all the different X-Men in that massive, and they're all like there in streams around the world, and then it's like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like you become Xavier. You're in Cerebro looking out.
I actually, Matt Huggins' PS is quite nice as well. The next day I went with my girlfriend for a hungover pub lunch. That pub was a Pokestop, and we put a lure module down. One of the bar staff came over and thanked us after they asked us if it was one of us.
Aww.
You're like, that's really
yeah.
cool.
That
it's just
awesome.
Making people happy and nice.
What have you got, Joe?
I have got this. This one's also about me. Ahoy, ahoy, IGN UK podcast.
Ahoy,
I want
ahoy.
Everyone to do ahoy, ahoy. All
ahoy, ahoy.
Now. While watching one of the videos on the site, I noticed Joe looks quite similar to emo hottie Frank Iero from My Chemical Romance. Have I gone mad, or do you guys see it too? This is, yet again, someone who has been repeatedly compared to me, even though he's much sexier than I am and considerably thinner. But, yeah, my question... Anyway, I'm going to carry on. My question is, has anyone ever told you that you look like a celebrity? So, Gav, you've had Adam Buxton 1,000 times.
I get Adam, although I don't actually think I look like him
you
that
don't
much
look
at
that
all.
Much like Adam
like,
Buxton.
We don't have facial features.
You don't have facial features?
No.
You're like Idris Elba.
Similar, yeah. We don't have similar facial features. I went to New York Comic Con once and got stopped multiple times by people who thought I was Kevin Smith.
No way!
Really?
And then they were like, oh, are you Kevin Smith? And I was like, no. And they were like, oh, are you... cosplayers Kevin Smith. I was like, no, it's my fucking clothes I wear.
That's ridiculous. You
that's
don't
amazing.
Wear hockey t-shirts and jorts.
No,
that's
I had a pair of shorts on and a hoodie.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. I mean, yeah. The only similarity I can see is that you both have beards and
yeah.
brown hair. But you have exactly the same hair and beard, actually, in that
but
picture.
Like, where at New York Comic Con, I was probably about that size. I'm pointing to a picture where he is considerably larger than he is
you,
now.
No, but you are... You have always been considerably smaller than Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
he's a big man.
I think if you were at Comic-Con and you saw someone, I don't know. There's a lot of people.
If you were desperate to
maybe.
Meet Kevin Smith.
I mean,
who do people say you look like?
Oh, I don't know. It's... No. Like, I don't... Also,
you do know.
Well, I do... Well, no, but it's also... It's in the same, like, thread as Joe of... I don't look anything like her. And to say that you look like her makes it just seem...
Are you like, oh,
like,
God, people say that I look like Naomi Campbell. That was
exactly.
The first model that I can think of, and it's nothing like it.
Yeah, I've had it a couple of times, which is incredibly untrue, that I look like Jennifer Lawrence, which is not true. So that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. What was that?
No, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of times I've seen Jennifer Lawrence, which might look like.
No, she literally, I mean, yeah... Very lovely, but not
unlucky,
true.
Jen. You don't have anything like me. So stop telling people that we look alike, all right? Because it's bloody embarrassing. I've got, what have I got, Joe? What am I reading out?
I don't know.
You told me.
I did. Brian Lewis. You've forgotten it.
Brian Lewis.
Tyler and Brian. Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. Here we go. Brian. Duck Hunt. Hey guys, I recently attended Star Wars Celebration in London and had an amazing time. So did we.
Aww.
I met up with a couple of fellow Duck Hunters, really nice lads, and I bumped into Dan and Rory. Love the accent in person. And Joe, cheers by the way for taking the time to take a pit with me. Bit gutted I didn't meet fellow Welshman Gav though.
This is
the dude you talked about.
This is the guy who saw Krupa and was like, Krupa, and got a picture with him. Rory, got a picture with him, and then went to me. You a presenter as well? I was like, he got a picture with me. He's looked me up, so that makes me feel much better about that situation.
I like how he's just like, are you famous?
I bumped into Dan, Rory, and some prick who looks like a My Chemical Romance member.
Miscellaneous. Miscellaneous IGN trade. Man. And our final bit of feedback.
It's from the guy who you may have seen if you're part of the Duck Hunter podcast group. He's been posting these amazing drawings that are inspired by the podcast and prepared to try. So he did
the turtle Krupa.
He's done Finchie.
So funny.
So he says, art is not my profession, but it's something I love
it bloody
doing.
Well should be.
Yeah, it genuinely should. Like, these are amazing. He says, art's not my profession, but it's something I love doing, and I was wondering if any of you have any hidden talents, hobbies, or passions that you'd like to share. I know Rory is in a band, and Alicia's been an extra, but it would be awesome to know if Krupa is secretly a cage fighter, Killer Krups, or if Gav has an affinity for ballet, the dancing dragon.
I make the best cup of tea that I've ever tasted.
Yeah, he actually does.
I honestly love having tea made for me, but nobody makes tea as good as me.
You were showing off about tea this morning, even this morning.
Well, it's because I made a fantastic cup of tea.
You brewed it hard.
I brewed it real hard for our 15 to 20 minute video meeting.
I have no discernible talents, but
that's not
Krupa.
Yeah.
Well, Krupa is also a very talented artist, yeah, as referenced by your leg.
And he plays guitar.
Does he?
Yeah.
What?
He would have cleaned up at my school.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah. Art and guitar.
I know.
He's a proper
pretty
catch.
Cool man.
He is a catch. Yeah. But there we are. Those are talents. What's yours?
They're not talents. I go swing dancing.
And do you?
Yeah, I do. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Swing dancing and
rock. Do you have a regular partner?
I go with my friend B, and we do partner up sometimes because, like, often there's way more girls than guys. So then you have to, and it actually makes you a better dancer if you can dance the guy part as well and know what it's like to lead, because it's like, it's a skill to be able to follow, but also just to come up with all the moves and choreograph is insane, and to link them together. And you suddenly realize how hard it is to be a guy and to, like, string it together. So, but yeah, it's super, super fun because it's like so bouncy, and there's this amazing move where, like, give me your hand. To, like, have tension in your hand, and then you, like, so, like, pull back. Yeah, so you, like, both pull back, and then you both spring at each other. So you, like, pull, and then you basically, like, pull.
What was that noise?
it was
a move that I'd never done with my body before.
Different
new
muscles.
Experience.
Different muscles.
But it's amazing. So you both, like, swing and change places super quick, and then, like, snap, and then go into it. It's really fun.
That is lovely. And what a lovely way to end.
Yay.
IGN UK podcast number 341.
Time for a lovely cup of tea from you.
Yes, we might be back next week, or it might be somebody different. That's the good thing about this podcast. So,
and also the terrible thing, because no one can ever quite get a handle on their reality. What if we send someone spinning out into their own mind's abyss?
Well, I'd rather not think about that, Joseph, so I'll just say adieu.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.